right back with Tammy Williams, Belmont Park protester.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome to Destination Hockey. Today I'm here with a very special guest, Tammy Williams. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So for those of you guys who are not aware, Tammy is a Belmont Park protester. That is what we're going to talk about today. So can you please explain to us some of your concerns with the proposed arena at Belmont Park?
I'm sorry, you got cut off a little.
Okay. So can you please explain to us your concerns with the arena at Belmont Park?
Explain our opposition to the proposed arena?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So long story short, the community came together 15 years ago to sit down with the county and town and the state to develop a comprehensive rezoning plan for our community. And they did short-term goals, intermediate goals, as well as long-term goals. The state came up with a master plan. This is during the Patterson administration, as well as the community on a local level. So all of that was approved by the town of Hempstead, and rezoning or zoning certain areas in Elmont started to begin, and we knew this was going to be a long process. Here comes the Cosmos out of nowhere in 2012. They wanted to build a 25,000-seat soccer stadium next to our residential suburban homes, mm-hmm. and the community pushed back for 4 years. And then right after that, now we have a proposed arena. And just to say that the community is not opposed to development, the community is advocating for, you know, the right development to enhance Belmont Park as well as preserve our suburban community. In neither plans was there a proposal for an arena or stadium. So this is about the third administration that we have the pleasure of working with, and we're not here to take away anything from NASA Coliseum. Mm-hmm. So if that wasn't something that was in the plan 15 years ago, it's not going to be in the plan, you know, today in 2018.
Mm-hmm. So is your final goal...
And I think a lot of people just didn't know that part. They think this just came out of nowhere. And it's,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So is your final goal of this protest to have the Islanders play at Nassau Coliseum full-time, or is it just for no arena Belmont Park with no proposed plan for the Islanders?
I think we have to think regionally. And regionally, Nassau Coliseum has been renovated. If the Islanders want to... add any amenities, then they should come out of pocket for it. Mm-hmm. If they want to add luxury suite boxes, then they should come out of pocket for it. And it shouldn't be a tax subsidy from the taxpayers of Nassau County because we're taxed out of our minds here.
Yeah. So, you know, taxes are a big issue, but there seems to be one problem with the whole process. I've talked to Patrick Dowd, a.k.a. Sign Guy. He's the guy who holds up the signs. And what he keeps saying is there is just so much backing from big businessmen and government officials that it might be too much to overcome. So how are you going to deal with so many powerful people backing this Belmont Park plan?
Well, I guess because this is not our first time. We're not the only communities. It's been a study done for over 20, 30 years, 48 cities combined that shows that arenas and stadiums, casinos are parasites to local communities. They're not engines for economic development. They actually pull the resources from one mom-and-pop shop and isolate it into an infrastructure. So that's not really helping revitalize our downtown. Powerful politicians, wealthy donors, that's not something that we're like, oh my gosh, that's going to scare us off. You know, people power, you use your voices at the polls. These elected officials get voted in every 2 years. You know, our community has been gerrymandered. That means that our vote has been split into so many different districts because of this issue that we're not afraid of the challenge. We will push back for as many years until people see that, you know, Nassau Coliseum is the home. That revenue would go directly into the county. We don't have to divide that up by the state. So whether it's parking fee revenue, whether it's, you know, whatever they want to charge for luxury boxes, all of that needs to be worked out, devil's in a detail. But we're not going to have the same infrastructure 8 miles away from the existing one. And then their practice facility is at Eisenhower Park, which was built brand new by Nassau County. So it just doesn't make sense. So I already know the game, you know, they'll threaten to leave. Oh, we left. We went to Barclay. Well, you knew what you were getting when you went to Barclay.
Yeah.
You walked around. You took notes. So then you can come back and say, well, you know, it wasn't working over here. Well, you knew that before you left. So you could have worked something out here that didn't cost taxpayers. You know, so $400 million was put on a ballot.
Yeah.
People came out and they voted, no, we're not subsidizing $400 million. Well, now we're going to bet on Belmont and we're going to say we're going to put $1 billion down. Well, you're always on the hook for 40% as a taxpayer. That's that $400 million.
Yeah.
So, again, until we see the numbers, until we see the reports, right now, this is not a done deal. This is a conditional idea.
We
still have to go through an environmental study.
Yeah, that's important. One thing that would be a benefit of the arena, though, there's a lot of arenas in the tri-state area, but this would add, again, thousands of jobs, and a lot of people are citing that as a benefit of the arena. So how do you counter that argument with the job growth in the Elmont area?
You talked about job growth?
Yes, I'm just talking about the job growth in the Elmont area. How do you counter that argument?
Oh, okay. So Elmont's medium income is about $89,653. That means that the average home's mortgage is probably around between $1,500 to $2,600. The jobs that we have as a working professional middle-class community are doctors, lawyers, you know, people in government, law enforcement. Parking attendance jobs is what happens at an arena. Selling hot dogs is what happens at arenas. Waiters, waitresses, cooks, maintenance work, repair, cleaning, those are the jobs that they're talking about. We ask them to break down in a graph. You tell me, what is these 3,200 jobs? What is the hourly wage for it? And what is the annual salary, if that may be? It came back that, okay, it will be seasonal part-time jobs. Well, here on Long Island, you can't survive on that.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you can't subsidize, us taxpayers will have to subsidize that, whether it's in social services because you need, you know, food assistance. It may be a subsidy as, well, I need my electricity paid. We have seniors here that are aging in place. So it doesn't make economic sense to raise people's property taxes, to subsidize wealthy donors to elected officials, which they can just go to NASA Coliseum. You're going to be there for 60 games, correct?
Yes, they will be there for half of their season.
And then do an assessment, independent assessment, away from the owners, away from the government, an independent engineer, independent architect, everyone that has nothing to do with this, come and say, this is what's the price tag for renovations, and this is the price tag if we needed to build from scratch. And let the people who will have to end up paying it, which is the taxpayers, decide, again, is this feasible? So low-wage jobs is not feasible for this community. This is a thriving, diverse community. We are paying 60% in taxes to educate our children. We want them to come back and give back to the community and be able to purchase a home. And you can't, you know, survive selling hot dogs.
Yeah, that's a good point. But the Islanders, the main problem they've been facing, politicians like Kate Murray and other people, they just haven't been able to work out the Nassau Coliseum. They've been trying, because the Nassau Coliseum, a lot of people think that's the Islanders' home, but they just haven't been able to work it out, so they're going towards other options, whether that's Belmont Park, which is what is happening now. So the proposed outline from John Ledecky is the shovels will be in the ground by this year, and they'll be playing the 2020-2021 season. So that's a quick timeline. As a protester and as a community member who's trying to stop this, how do you think you're going to be able to keep up with this quick timeline of the Islanders really wanting to get this going fast?
Well, their timeline is a facade. You know, you have the power of the freedom of information, so you can foil information from the government for transparency to see where they are in this process. They're nowhere, to me, on step two. If you want shovels in the ground by, what is it, spring 2019?
Yes.
None of the other agencies that have to approve this, which you have to go through like 9 different agencies, they haven't even heard of this project outside of what's reported by newspapers. So there's a lack of communication. So, yeah, you're using the newspaper, which has a conflict of interest. Their owner of the paper, of Newsday, has a relative who's bidding on the land. So you're going to say what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in the big guns, which is the commissioner of the NHL, to say, this is what's going to happen because I say so. Well, you don't live here.
Mm-hmm.
You have the governor who's running for re-election, so he's trying to pander to whoever's going to vote for him.
Yeah.
He can care less after he tried to go run for president, what happens here in 2 years. But again, it's trying to prevent the community from pushing back, because they were successful since 2012 pushing back, and to give supporters that hope. Well, we're not denying supporters tradition. By any means, we're not denying tradition. Nassau Coliseum is where we need to be focusing on, because if that elephant in the room dies away, what does that mean to Nassau County taxpayers who already gave so much money up front for subsidies, tax breaks?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that money going to come from? So, again, this is an 18-month process. We are exploring legal means to push back. We have one of the attorneys who pushed back for 8 years on the Barclay Center. We know that transportation is the biggest issue. We knew that coming into our assessment of the community in 2003.
Yeah.
You know, Robert Moses did not design, as well as Mr. Belmont Jr., did not design the railroad that gives access to Belmont to be a full-time train station. They just wanted to get from Park Avenue in the city and get to see their horses, and then ride on back into the city. So that right there would cost taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars. So that hundreds of million dollars is going to be taken from other places, not raise revenue. Either you're going to get taxed, or your roads are not going to look good, your infrastructure is going to be weak, Your schools are not going to be well funded. There's other things that we have to do to be responsible with money versus, you know, just for a short entertainment. And it's not, I know one of the questions were, you know, we handle an event once a year that may draw 20 to 90,000 people. It's hiccups, you know, things that people don't discuss, but it's hiccups on those dates. You know, most community members, they leave for the day and go other places because they know it's just once a year. If we have to deal with this every other day, God forbid if we had a medical emergency, and we couldn't get down the road to the hospital. So those, again, are things that you have to think about when you're doing an environmental impact study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the concern is definitely the parking. It's definitely the train and how it would need to whole new tracks to get to Belmont Park if they want to make it a full-time station. But you brought it up. You know, there's 50,000 people at Belmont Stakes a year, and that does put a strain on the local resources. But coming from an outsider, and this is why I'm really excited to speak to you, because from an outsider, it looks like, oh, there's 50,000 people there. Why can't they hold 20,000? But can you just give an insight into what it's like to be a community member? What specific problems do you have during this huge event as someone who lives in Belmont Park, Elmont area? How does it affect a community member?
Well, most people try to get out of the neighborhood before 11. You can't pass down your residential. So let's say I have a child with a medical condition. He has a serious problem where if I have to get to the hospital, I have to go. Mm-hmm. They barricade the blocks. Even if you show your photo ID, you can't get down to your house. And I literally live three blocks away.
Oh, wow.
So if I needed to go on a cross island, not happening. Mm. I would have to, you know, try to find another way. We have problems with people littering, which is okay, fine. We'll get it cleaned up. We have people that, you know, are intoxicated. We don't want that when you're trying to get home from work and see your kids or have your kids play in the streets. You know, we're suburbia. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's something wrong with putting anything in urban communities, but, you know, we pay a lot of money for that tranquility, that peace of mind that your kid can ride their bikes in your neighborhood and not worry about someone racing down. You want to be able to get home and put food on the table or cook a meal. We have a problem with people urinating in people's garbage cans. Like, we have photos. Okay, we asked the state to come down and spend a day with us just to kind of like walk in our shoes, and they said no. We don't want to study what goes on. We know that this is an extraordinary day. You guys expect big crowds. But I said, but you haven't even come down for the 15 years of this process just to know what we're talking about. Like, we should be promoting a street fair, if anything. If you want to shut down a road, then that's fine. Shut it down on that day. Bring the mom-and-pop shops out, and let's support small businesses, because those are the ones that support us when it comes to community initiatives. So then when people come from out of town, they get a taste of the community. You know, we're a Caribbean community. We're a West Indian community. We're an Italian community. We're an Irish community. Floor Park has an Irish community. We can bring all our cultures together and really show the diversity of this neighborhood while helping to preserve and enhance Belmont. But NYRA, bad neighbors. They don't come to community meetings. They don't tell us a report. They don't tell us their health concerns. You know, at the back stretch, we have to learn from the newspapers about something could be in the air or something could be, you know, you don't know. Like, so if we're subsidizing one sporting facility already, why are we going to subsidize two next to each other to have two bad neighbors?
Yeah. So, but the problem is, the Islanders fans, and there's this backing that it just, at this moment, it looks like it's going to happen. So you guys got to put a full court press on this. So just one final thing. if you have one message to Islanders fans, I've got a lot listening right now, New York Islanders fans who desperately want this arena built so they can finally get their home, what are you going to tell them?
I'm sorry, it came in. If I have one thing to tell, you said an Islander fan?
Yeah, one final message to Islanders fans. You're proposing taking away this arena that they've been working hard for. What is your message?
Oh, message is that you're going to come home, but you're going to come home to Nassau Coliseum. We're going to work it out there, and that's it. We understand tradition, but, you know, give this community a chance it's not fair. It's not fair that a community has been at a table for 15 years, and then someone walks in and says, well, I'm going to take what's yours. That's like taking something from a child and giving it to another child because that child is special to you. Well, we all should be special. So just understand that this didn't happen overnight, and we're not against any fans. We understand the love for the sport and the excitement, but we want to make sure economically it is viable, and right now that's not the case for arenas and stadiums. But we have something. We have the white elephant in the room, which is Nassau Coliseum, and we have to make sure that we maintain something locally that's been here, since the early 1970s?
Yes.
That's what we need to focus on. And don't follow the shiny objects or, you know, the threats of leaving, the threats that, oh, it's obsolete, or, you know, these owners know what they're doing. They know how to make their money. They know how to claim it on their federal taxes, and they know how to stick it to the taxpayers, and that's what this is about.
Well, I got to say,
it's not about the fans.
Well, I learned a ton from listening to you. That was really interesting, and I think it's really great that we were able to hear the other side, because up until now, I really was not aware of a lot of that. So thank you so, so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate you giving up the time today.
Thank you, everyone, and hopefully that just tells you we're soft. We're good people. We just want a fair process.
Yeah, well, that's great. So thank you so much and have a great day.
All right, you have a great evening.
So that was Tammy Williams. Very, very interesting there. I was not aware of a lot of that. I learned a lot, and it still looks like this arena is going to happen, and the Islanders look like they're going to get their home. Right now that's what it's looking like, but it looks like the citizens of Elmont might be paying the price. So new perspective there. Interesting to see the tables turned. But when we get back, we're going to be right back where we started, talking about John Tavares. Haven't had the chance to talk to you guys about the man himself. He left for Toronto, and we're going to dive into that when we get back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Is John Tavares a traitor? That's a question I've been asking myself for 10 days now since he's left. It's certainly a complicated question because this is a guy who's committed a decade to Long Island. He played his heart out. He did everything he could for this community, this team, this franchise, and frankly, he wasn't given the help he needed. He never had line mates. His friends were constantly torn from him. He wasn't given a defense. He never had a legitimate goalie besides Yaroslav Halak for maybe 1 year. This guy really tried, and he really didn't do enough. But was it his fault? We don't know. He cared. He tried his hardest for this fan base, and in the end, he let them down. He requested not to be traded at the trade deadline. He claims in an article for the Player Tribune that was his calling, that his calling was to be an Islander, yet it just didn't work out. He requested not to be traded because his eyes were on the prize for the New York Islanders. He wanted to contend for the New York Islanders, win a Stanley Cup for the New York Islanders, and that his long-term goal was to be an Islander at the trade deadline, and he never would have jumped ship halfway through the year. And even though the Islanders could have traded for a lot of assets, he wanted to stay and requested to stay. That's tough for a lot of fans to swallow. He claims that going to Toronto was a childhood dream, that he's wanted to do it since he was 3 years old, when he sat with his dad and watched a playoff overtime goal and became a Leafs fan for life. He wanted to be a Toronto Maple Leaf his entire life, yet he claims that he also wanted to stay with the New York Islanders. This is a really, really, really interesting debate here, because you have one side where it's John Tavares wanted to stay in the Islanders, and then John Tavares always wanted to jump ship to the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's tough to look at, because from a fan 10 days ago who was very, very angry, and now hearing some of what he's saying, speaking to Pat Brisson for a little bit, we were supposed to interview him today, unfortunately that was canceled, but John Tavares was having panic attacks. He was really, really upset over this decision. And he really didn't make it until the day before free agency opened, according to him in this Player Tribune article. But if John Tavares knew that his childhood dream was to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, he should have taken one for the fan base that he according to him, loved so much and requested to be traded, gone to Toronto at the deadline so the Islanders could have regained assets. Losing John Tavares will set the Islanders back for years. It really will. He is a franchise centerpiece, a top player in the NHL, and a trade for him would have helped supplement the loss that he is currently feeling for the Islanders. It's really, really a shame that this man left for nothing, because on the trade market, he could have gotten so much. $11.25 million per year for 8 years was the contract that the Islanders offered. He turned that down for 7 years, $11 million per year. So he turned down millions to go to Toronto. So this wasn't about money. This was about him looking at a team that had a young core that wanted to win now and needed John Tavares to really just solidify their forward core and make a push for the cup. John Tavares claims that this wasn't about his childhood dream, that it was a childhood dream, but he would have put that aside to play for the Islanders. It was the on-the-ice things. It was Austin Matthews, Nylander, Marner, these players that just John Tavares couldn't turn down. But the Islanders had good players too, and John Tavares showed his commitment to the Islanders and really put Lou Lamoriello in a bind. He texted Oliver Wahlstrom and texted Noah Dobson congratulating them on being welcome to the Islanders, saying he was excited that they were on the team. He was talking with Lou Lamoriello daily, expressing his desire to return. He really just made it out to be throughout the entire process that, hey, I want to be with the Islanders, but I'm just going to do these teams a solid. I'm going to have these meetings, and really, we'll decide from there. According to John Tavares, his 2-hour and 15-minute meeting with the Toronto Maple Leafs changed things, and that he went from wanting to re-sign with the Islanders to wanting to head over to Toronto. I don't know if I buy that. I respect what John Tavares is doing. I respect that he is writing in the Players Tribune article today. I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart for things not working out and for the fact that under my captaincy we fell short of our ultimate goal. But I gave it all I had, and I can't tell you how grateful I am for how you gave me all that you had in return. Isles fans, thanks for reading. Thanks for caring. Thanks for everything. So John Tavares apparently loves Islanders fans. He loves the Islanders faithful, as he calls them. Yet he left them for a two-hour meeting with the Toronto Maple Leafs and jumped ship. This is really, really tough to accept as a fan. We offered him bagels. We offered him Junior's cheesecake, jerseys. We had shrines made out to him, and then he leaves. We're burning jerseys. We're donating them. We're trading them in for bagels. It's like a full circle. But the thing with John Tavares is it was such a tease. Patrick Dowd, sign guy, had him on the show various times. He was so convinced that John Tavares would resign, especially after Lou Lamoriello jumped on board. And honestly, I agreed with him. John Tavares made every inclination that he was going to re-sign. Andrew Gross tweeted out the day that Barry Trotz hired, expect good news on the John Tavares front soon. Arthur Staple on my show, on this show 3 weeks ago, said if he had to bet money, he would bet that John Tavares would stay. That is the Islanders reporter for The Athletic and ex-beat writer. Everyone was fell for the snake eyes that John Tavares, and that's a pun, by the way, John Tavares put these snake eyes on the Islanders. He looked at them. He said, I'm going to resign, and then he turned away and went to Toronto. It was such a it was just such a difficult process for fans. It was an emotional roller coaster. Twitter was absolutely insane. Even Calvin DeHaan, ex-players, were getting involved, telling Islanders fans to go easy. And then John Tavares goes to Anders Lee's wedding. And fans, Thomas Hickey says, we're going to rebound over this. We're going to get through this difficult time. And a unanimous source tells Arthur Staple that a unanimous player says, I forgive fans for burning jerseys. I would do the same. He basically says the Islanders fans are justified in what they're doing. And then Anders Lee's wedding comes around, and John Tavares is buddy-buddy with Matt Martin, Casey Zizekas, Anders Lee, Anthony Beauvillier, Matt Barzal, all these guys that he ditched. His teammates that he left. Hockey is a business, and these players are doing their job. So the Islanders players clearly had an initial hurt, and then they got over their hard feelings. But seeing John Tavares with his friends that he bailed on was like seeing a rough divorce. It was tough to watch these pictures. Four players, Casey Zizekas, Cal Clutterbuck, Anthony Beauvillier, and I think it might have been Jason Chimera, an ex-Islander, were shotgunning beers, and John Tavares was sitting there with his head down. There's a famous picture that was on Christy Cizikas' Snapchat story. All of this just buzz surrounding Anders Lee's wedding really made it sink in that, hey, John Tavares is gone, yet his teammates seem to forgive him. As fans, I think today was the first day. I was preparing for my show. I was in Princeton today, not really thinking about the show. You know, I was all planned for a Pat Brisson interview, and then unfortunately that was canceled. And then I was just like, what am I going to do for this show today? And I just was like, I'll talk about John Tavares. I don't need to plan notes for that. I'll just do it. And as I was thinking about what I was going to say about John Tavares, it started to hit me. This man is a villain. He's a traitor. I mean, it's just a fact that what he did was not fair to the fan base. But he's a person that made a decision that's best for him. And today, for the first time after reading his Player Tribune article, I didn't want it to become too much, but everything happened very quickly and the emotions were very strong. It was quite the process. I don't think if John Tavares looked at himself a year ago and said, this is what's going to play out, I think he would have been repulsed. I think that he's ashamed in himself. I think that he didn't want to put the Islanders on the roller coaster that he did. And I think that John Tavares always probably knew that he might have wanted to go to Toronto. I don't think fans are saying, oh, he wanted to go to Toronto. He was going to re-sign with the Islanders on a cheap deal as an RFA and then just leave when he became an unrestricted free agent. I don't think John Tavares always knew he wanted to go to Toronto. But I think he always had that feeling that he might want to. So the way he drained out this process was terrible and unfair. The Islanders were unable, absolutely unable, and Lou Lamoriello stated this as a fact. He said the UFA period was too short. He was focused on John Tavares. He wasn't able to meet with players. We offered David Perron 4 years, $16 million. We offered Anton Hudobin 3 years, $3 million. He denied. We offered Robin Leonard 3 years, $4 million a year. He denied. We offered all these players deals and last minute efforts. All these players denied. We wound up with Leo Komarov, Valtteri Filppula, Tom Kunak, or Robin Leonard, all backup plans. And that's because of John Tavares. John Tavares screwed the New York Islanders. But, again, I don't think this is what he intended. I don't think he meant to do what he did. Fans are so mad at this guy. Fans that he loves and that he said he loves. And he could be lying, sure. But I genuinely think John Tavares is sorry for how this played out. This isn't what he wanted. And I think that John Tavares is a man of his word. And that when he says he grew up in Long Island and Long Island was home, I think it still is. But as a fan base, we let him down. Garth Snow, John Tavares was always enamored with Garth Snow and Doug Weight, which was repulsive in my opinion. I don't know what he found in these two people. But John Tavares was blinded by Garth Snow's incompetence. And if Scott Malkin just fired Garth Snow 3, 4, 6, 8, 10 years ago, like he should have. Obviously, Scott Malkin wasn't the owner 10 years ago, but if Garth Snow was fired in a timely manner, a new GM would have been able to come in, adjust course, and convince John Tavares to resign. Easy. Easy. Or he would have traded him. Something else would have happened. But the way that the Islanders, as an organization, handled this, they failed John Tavares and they failed their fan base. They allowed John Tavares to become the snake that he is and betray the Islanders fan base. The Islanders, they partly did this to themselves. They're not the innocent victim here. John Tavares had a role. But honestly, this is just, I would talk about it with my friends. I'd be convinced John Tavares would resign. But it just, there was this feeling that he might not, and everything came together and was the worst possible thing for the Islanders. It really was. Everything went wrong. And that's a shame, because the Islanders needed John Tavares. We need John Tavares, and we lost him for nothing. I mean, it's tough. It's tough reading John Tavares' Player Tribune article. It really is sad to read that. He had a panic, literally a panic attack. He didn't know what he was doing until the day before. And who knows if John Tavares even wrote that? Who knows if John Tavares is lying? But I don't think he was. That was clearly his tone. And I genuinely think he had a difficult time through this process. So it's sad that he's gone, but we need to move on. As a fan base, we need to move on. Matthew Barzal is the franchise's savior. Anthony Beauvillier, another first-round pick in Barzal's draft class. Very, very talented player. Eberle, that's our first line. Anders Lee, Josh Bailey, whether it's Kovar, whether it's Nelson, we're going to have a solid second line. And this is my favorite part about this team. The Islanders are going to absolutely beat the crap out of every team they play. You're going to have two fourth lines. You're going to have Matt Martin, Casey Zekas, and Cal Clutterbuck back and better than ever. You're going to have a physical defense. Might not be a good defense, but it's going to be a physical defense. And the Islanders are going to play old school hockey and beat the crap out of every team they play. That is a good thing. Because if you're not good enough to win, you can be tough enough to win. The Vegas Golden Knights did it. They weren't a good hockey team on paper. In fact, they were a very bad hockey team on paper. But they rolled out two fourth lines. They rolled out two other solid lines. All four created this one beautiful medley. And all these players had their role. The Islanders need to do the same thing. They need to follow the Vegas Golden Knights path. They need to utilize their physicality. They need to play good defense. Barry Trotz gives up an average of 220 goals a year. As coach, the Islanders gave up like 291 last year. If they can just get back to the NHL's average and replace 36 of 84 of John Tavares' 84 points, if you do the math, the Islanders break even in their total points. So the Islanders don't have exactly big shoes to replace in John Tavares, because you can't look at it as they need to get 84 points back on their roster, because they don't. They need to play better defense, they need to be more physical, and they need to get solid depth scoring, which they didn't have last year. The Islanders will most likely be a better hockey team without John Tavares than they were with John Tavares, and that's crazy to say. But think about this. The Islanders were dreadful last year. Dreadful. 80 points, one of the worst teams in hockey, without a three-game winning streak at the end of the year, they would have been the seventh worst team in hockey. The Islanders were a bad hockey team with John Tavares. They were a bad hockey team paying John Tavares a bargain of $5 million per year. They were a bad hockey team with John Tavares. And without John Tavares, they could be still a bad hockey team, but in my opinion, they're going to be a new-look, old-school hockey team that will do better. Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello are going to do wonders, and I mean wonders, for this team. The Islanders have never, in their existence since Bill Torrey and Al Arbor, had a coach-GM tandem that were even close to competent. Lou Lamoriello is going to do wonders for this team. He's going to be a savior. And you might look at his contracts that he's giving out and be like, why in the world is Ross Johnson getting a four-year contract? And it makes absolutely no sense. But Lou Lamoriello has this magic to him where Ross Johnson does not deserve a four-year contract. He's only has three NHL goals. Why in the world would that happen? But it's low risk. You send him down if you have to. He's claimed, oh, well. I mean, it's not the end of the world. Leo Komarov, $3 million a year. An overpay, yes. But who cares? It's $3 million per year for a solid third or fourth liner who's going to be a leader in the locker room. It's not an Andrew Ladd. It's not a Johnny Boychuk albatross of a contract. Lou Lamoriello is doing what he sees best for this team. Barry Trotz will implement an entire new system that utilizes every player. It will utilize every player's strengths. It will really relook and re-explore the New York Islanders' talents. And I'm really excited to see what these two men have in store. Because the Islanders may have lost John Tavares, but they have a new identity. In a survey on Twitter that was taken in April, it was, would you rather have the Islanders lose John Tavares, but fire Garth Snow and Doug Waite, or re-sign John Tavares, but keep Garth Snow and Doug Waite? 65% of people said lose John Tavares. There was a time in April and early May where no one thought the Islanders would re-sign John Tavares. Like, it was common knowledge that John Tavares would walk, and only the most loyal of Islanders fans, like Patrick Dowd, some subsets of fans would be like, yeah, he could probably stay. But every NHL analyst was like, this guy is leaving. And then Lou Lamoriello comes on board, starts to change the identity, and people think he's going to stay. But he leaves. We expected this. He waited this long for a reason. We knew he wanted to go back to Toronto. It hurts now, but you just got to look in the lens, the greater lens, the long-term lens, that John Tavares, in year 7 and 8 of an $11.25 million per year contract, would have been a terrible, terrible signing. So things can look bad. You can be hurt for a little bit. But I encourage you to read John Tavares' Player Tribune article. I encourage you to look at the Islanders' new identity. Watch some of the old clips of Gillies beating the crap out of opposing players. Just look at what the Islanders are trying to do here. Barry Trotz is a Stanley Cup winning coach. Lou Lamoriello is an NHL Hall of Fame executive. And the Islanders have a lot of goons on their roster. They've got Robin Lehner, who we're going to be talking about on our next segment of the show, a solid goalie who could rebound his career with the Islanders. Mitch Korn coming in, a great goaltending coach. The Islanders lost John Tavares, but they are on the up and coming. It's hard to realize now, but the Islanders might just be better off without John Tavares. So we'll be right back with Ben Baruch of Dry for Five. That was my little rant on John Tavares. Hopefully you enjoyed. It's important to keep a positive outlook during this tough time. It's okay to be sad, but the Islanders, I'm telling you, they're going to rebound, and they're going to be better than ever. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113. Or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Destination Hockey. I am here with Ben of Drive for Five. Very excited to speak with him. Good friend of mine. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, David. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So we just talked about John Tavares and how he left, and now we're going to transition a little bit into talking about Robin Lehner, the new face of the New York Islanders goaltending tandem. And Ben, you're a goalie. You play goalie. You know what it's like. How do you think Robin Lehner is going to be able to adjust to the New York Islanders?
You know, I'm actually really excited about Robin Lehner. I've watched some highlights. He's a big goalie, so he takes up a lot of net. He can move around the net really well, which is good for goaltenders these days. And what I like to see in goaltenders, so like this is something I see a lot in Carey Price, Connor Hellebuck, Marc-Andre Fleury, they move around the net a lot, but they do it in an efficient way. So they don't overplay pucks like we see Thomas Greiss doing a lot. They're very efficient, straight to the puck. They make the save, and they're able to rebound. So I like what I've seen from Robin Lehner, and I think he's going to do great for the Islanders next year.
Yeah, one thing that's cool about him, a lot of people think this is a negative, but I really like his temper too. He's a motivated, he's a really, really intense guy. I think that's good for the locker room. He's not okay with losing. He was on a Buffalo Sabres team that lost almost every night. They were a bad hockey team, and the Islanders are looking like they might be a bad hockey team. Robin Leonard's not okay with that, and he's going to come in here, he's going to work with Mitch Korn. He's really, really going to get his game, and I think he's a fired-up guy who's really, really just going to be fired up to be on the New York Islanders, unlike some players in the past.
Robin Lehner is a character guy, and every locker room needs a character guy. Robin Lehner is going to definitely be that for the Islanders. He brings a lot to the table. He's a fierce competitor. We've seen that with whenever he takes his goalie mask off, and see that big bushy beard yelling at some player across the ice or getting into fights. He is someone who takes responsibility for what goes on the ice, and it's a great thing that the Islanders are getting because we did not have a lot of that last season.
Yeah, and one thing that's cool with him, too, is he's a one-year deal, $1.5 million. He's getting underpaid. He's taking a huge pay cut. He's probably paying more to live in Brooklyn, Long Island. He's probably not happy about that. He's not happy that Buffalo didn't qualify him. And basically, his career is not going in the direction he wants it to. He's going to come to the Islanders, he's going to work his butt off, and he's going to try to be the best goalie he can be. He's not going to let Thomas Greiss take games from him. This guy is looking at this as a tandem, and he's not saying that, hey, I'm going to split games with Thomas Greiss. He's saying, I'm going to be the starter, and I'm going to lead the Islanders to success. And I really like that.
From a contract situation, this is a great, great thing for the Islanders, because A, it's low risk, high reward, and B, Robin Leonard's trying to turn around his career. He had a horrible season last year in Buffalo, even without any good defense. Listen, 2 years ago, he had a .920 save percentage, and he was one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
So we could be seeing a turnaround season from Robin Lehner, And he's on a one-year contract. So let's say he does well. We re-sign him to another 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. He's a solid goaltender. He's only 26 years old. If not, we let him go. And there's better goaltenders on the market. We have Linus Odorsham also in the system. Ilya Sorokin may want to come over now that Garth Snow is out of the house. So things are looking bright for the goaltending situation here on Long Island.
Yeah, Ilya Sorokin, I think he's a really cool player to kind of look at because I talked to Jakub Skarik, and he was really, really excited with the organizational depth that the Islanders had, and he signed immediately with the Islanders. So that's cool. Ilya Sorokin, if he comes over, he's might be one of the best goalies in the NHL. He is one of the best goalies in the world. He dominates the KHL, absolutely dominates the world stage as well. But he just doesn't want to seem to leave Russia. Do you ever see this guy coming over to the Islanders?
Listen, I hope he does. I heard somewhere that part of the reason he didn't want to come was because of Garth Snow. I think he's under contract. I may be wrong. Oh, no, he's under contract in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But we have his rights. So hopefully he wants to come. Again, that's totally his call. But listen, the team needs to prove that we're willing to have him and that we're good enough to have him. Because, like you said, he is a top-tier goaltender in the world. The KHL is not a bad league.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers that he's putting up over there are pretty remarkable. So I would love to see him come over and be lights out for New York.
Yeah, one thing that this is a bold conspiracy theory here, but the Islanders seem to have this thing, and it was on Twitter. It was a joke. The Islanders didn't like Russian players. They signed Kulemin, and that was their one Russian guy in years. Brooklyn's got a heavy Russian population. They're going after Kovar. They're going after all these Russian guys now. What if the Islanders are trying to pitch to Ilya Sorokin, come to us? Because the Islanders, Ilya Sorokin's the type of guy, he's a Carey Price, he's a Pekarinen, he's a Braden Holtby. Not an exaggeration. This guy is a generational talent, but he will not leave the KHL. The Islanders need to do everything they can to get this guy over because screw John Tavares. If you're one of the best goalies in the league, which we've never had since Billy Smith, I mean, that could do wonders for this team.
Yeah, Ilya Sorokin is a great asset for this franchise, and the sooner we get him over here the better, because he's missing out in Russia, because over here he could have all the fame he wants. The NHL is the league, and New York's going to be a great team in a few years. Like, forget John Tavares. We're going to move on, and we're going to be a great team in a few years. This team has one of the best young cores in the National Hockey League, hands down. Oliver Wahlstrom, Kiefer Bellows, Matthew Barzal is our first-line center. He's 21 years old. I mean, he may even be 20. I don't remember correctly, but that's still ridiculously young. So the fact that we're being led by such a young star and he's surrounded by young talent and there's even more in the pipeline is just, it's so exciting for this franchise, and I'd love to see Ilya Sorokin be a part of that.
Yeah, one thing with the Islanders, though, sorry to jump ship on the positive train, but the Islanders do have a pretty bad defensive core. They've got five guys, Adam Pellick, Scott Mayfield, Thomas Hickey, Johnny Boychuk, and Nick Leddy. I'm not reading that off a list. I know it by heart because they're five players who should not be locked up for as long as they are. But they've got a combined 20 years of term between them, and it's not exactly looking like the best defensive core. Do you think, as a goalie, do you like having a bad defensive core in front of you facing a lot of shots, or would you prefer to face 15 shots a game?
Well, I think a good defensive core doesn't necessarily shut down all shots because there are goaltenders who love seeing a lot of shots. Like me personally, like let's say I'm playing a game. I'd love to see a shot within the first 20 seconds of the game. It calms your nerves. It gets you into a rhythm. And then you could sort of go from there. A good defensive core, I mean, it depends on the goaltender. They may want to shut down shots if the goaltender likes that. Or they may try to keep shots to the outside and let the goaltender have an easy few minutes to start the game. And then if shots come from other places, let them come from other places. But a good defensive core is able to limit shots from outside the front of the net to make it easier on a goaltender. They don't need to necessarily be seeing five shots a night. They can see 20, 25, 30 shots a night. That's what they're getting paid to do, as long as they're seeing them from the right spot and they're good enough to save.
Yeah, the Islanders' defensive core was one of the worst in recent memory last year. They had a minus 42 player, which hasn't happened since the 06-07 season. The Islanders were bad. Do you think Barry Trotz comes in and changes that, or do you think the Islanders have another bad season as a defensive unit?
Barry Trotz did something remarkable in Washington. He turned Alex Ovechkin, one of the greatest players in this league, from a minus player to a significant plus player. He was blocking shots in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. This isn't like some fourth-line player like Devontae Smith-Pelly or Jay Beagle. This is Alex Ovechkin. He was blocking shots. If he could do that to the forward group, imagine what he could do to the defensive group. And it's not all bad, also. Thomas Hickey was not bad last year. He was a plus +7. Johnny Boychuk had a down season along with Nick Leddy, and you can't blame him for everything that happened when a lot of his partners weren't that great either. Adam Pellick scored way too many own goals and he was just not good this year. So I think the defensive core is set for a rebound. I like a lot of the pieces on there. Granted, there are some that need to be changed, but Barry Trotz could work wonders with a defensive core, and I think he's going to do that in New York.
Yeah, Madison Bowie, Kristen Jews, Michael Kempney, who was supposed to be overseas. I mean, those were three of the main pieces of the Capitals' Stanley Cup winning defense. And Barry Trotz just made them out to be all-stars, especially Kempney, who's re-signed with a four-year, $10 million deal, and they don't have the cap space for that, which is amazing. The Washington Capitals did this amazing thing in deep with their defense where Braden Holtby was able to do his thing. Their defense was sensational, and it was what it needed to be. And then their offense was one of the best we've seen with Ovi, Backstrom rolling out four lines. The Islanders can match that in any way. If they can replicate the success that Trotz had in Washington, they're going to be in good shape this year. I'm really excited for this season.
Certainly can.
Yeah. So, Ben, time's running out on the show, but this is not the last we're going to be hearing from you. Really exciting plan we are formulating up here. We've got an exclusive interview coming up either next week or the week after, so tell us a little bit about that.
So hopefully David and I are going to interview the maven of hockey, Stan Fischler, will hopefully be coming on our show in a few weeks' time. A friend of mine works at MSG, and he introduced me to Stan a couple weeks ago at a community event. He's a great guy with a great story to tell and a great opinion on John Tavares, too, that we'd love to hear on this show. I am so excited to hopefully interview him, as I'm sure David is also, and I hope you all could tune in whenever that happens to be.
Yeah, really excited. We're in the process of emailing and setting this up. His take on John Tavares is perhaps the funniest thing, and just it's also sad, but it's really just funny to hear this guy tear into John Tavares. Stan Fischler is one of the greatest journalists of all time. He would be such a nice person to interview. We're planning that. Stay tuned to the next few weeks. It's going to be a real, real nice person to interview, and I'm so excited. So thank you so much for planning that, and I'm really excited to speak to you in the future. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I will talk
to you soon.
Thanks
for having me on, David.
Of course. So that was Ben. We had a great show in store today. Tammy Williams, interesting person to talk to. I will not give my comments on some of the things she said, but I really liked how she gave a new perspective. Didn't know what she was really, where she was coming from in some of the points that she made about, you know, the big businessmen, because businessmen go where the money is, and that's hard. That's really, really hard to fight against, but I just loved how she talked about three blocks away from Belmont Park, the arena would really impact her life. I didn't know that. I'm sure you guys didn't know that. So that was a great perspective to hear from, and just really, really nice to talk to. Ben, really, really cool guy, and Stan Fischler, we're planning that, me and Ben. He's going to be on the show soon. And then lastly, John Tavares. He's gone. He's a Toronto Maple Leaf. We're going to try to forget, but it's important to remember what he did and really just reflect on the past while also looking towards a very bright future. So, guys, Destination Hockey was a great success this week. We will be back next week. Sorry for missing last week, but it was the 4th of July. So we will be back next week with Steve Rosenblum of the Chicago Tribune and hopefully Stan Fischler. So stay tuned and have a great day, everyone. Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
I'm Jennifer Breeden.
And Washington State has a new law to protect net neutrality at a time when the FCC is getting rid of it. In a bipartisan effort, the state's lawmakers passed a House bill that's been signed into law by Governor Jay Inslee. It bars Internet service providers in Washington State from blocking content, applications, or services, or slowing down traffic based on content, or whether they got paid to favor certain traffic. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.